You know, one of the last things most of us want to do is admit that we have some weakness. Our nature says, our human nature says that we can do anything. That there's nothing wrong with us physically, and that's why so many of us wait till last minute to go to the doctor. I mean, we just think, well, there's nothing wrong with me physically. There's nothing wrong with me emotionally. There's nothing wrong with me spiritually. And that's why it's so hard to get a person to realize that they need Jesus Christ as their Savior. Because until you get a person lost, you can't get them saved. Until a person realizes that they need a Savior, it's hard to introduce them to one. I was talking to Jameson after the service this morning. He got saved in Bible school, and he wants to get baptized. And Angie wanted me to talk to him just to make sure that he realized and understood what he was doing. And so I started at the beginning, and I said, Jameson, do you know that you're a sinner? And he sort of gave me a funny look, and I said, you know what sin is? And he said, well, yeah, that's when I do something bad. I said, well, have you ever sinned? He said, well, I think so. And I said, well, have you ever fought with your sister? And he said, well, sometimes. I said, is that a sin? Well, that's a sin. I said, have you ever disobeyed your mom and dad? He said, well, every now and then I slip up and do. And Nick and Angie were sitting across the aisle in the back there, and Angie was going, oh, yeah, oh, yeah. But I said, well, that's sort of a sin too, Jameson. I said, and how many sins does it take to make a person a sinner? And he held up his finger and said, well, it just takes one. And you're right, just takes one. And so we went through the plan of salvation. And again, I think he understood what he did in Bible school, and so if Lord willing, next week we'll baptize him. But that's the key to getting somebody saved. They've got to understand that they're a sinner. And I've talked to people down through the years that were adults that just couldn't get grasp the concept that they were a sinner. They were good, moral, honest, decent people, and they just couldn't comprehend that one sin makes them a sinner and that one sin would send them to hell. And in reality, if we're honest with ourselves, most of us have to say, well, we've sinned more than once, probably more than once a day, and God has every right to be just and to punish us for our sin. But his great love, as we were talking about this morning, sent a Savior to die in our place on Calvary to pay for our sin. But it's hard sometimes for us to grasp hold that we have a problem, that we have a weakness, that we have sin. And the Apostle Paul in this passage, and God throughout the whole Bible, thinks about weaknesses in a different way than we do. When we think about a weakness, we think about a disadvantage. We think about something that we would like to get rid of. Oftentimes, we bargain with God. Man, if you just get rid of this in my life, I'd be a much better Christian. If you just fix this thing in my life, I could serve you a whole lot better. If you just took care of this condition in my life, I could do more of what you want me to do. And we think that if we could get rid of the weakness or the condition or the situation in our life, we'd be stronger and do more for God. And God says, no. He says, when you're weaker, I can use you more. And by me using you more, you will accomplish more than if you had everything right in your life and did it on your own. And the Apostle Paul is a good example of that. And tonight I want to look at this passage of Scripture that we read, 2 Corinthians chapter 12, 7 through 10. And I want to say three things about the Apostle Paul, and I want us to apply them to our life. And when I talk about weakness, I'm just not talking about a physical ailment like the Apostle Paul had. I'm talking about things like a relationship in our life that's not good. A relationship in our life that if we had our way would change. We could do away with it, or we could change it and make it right. That's a weakness. I'll include in this physical ailments, physical problems, sicknesses that come, conditions that come. That the doctors can't get rid of, that no medicine can get rid of. We just have to live with it. I'm talking about things that maybe exist between us and our adult children. that we wish we could fix. We wish we could change. And we ask God to fix them, and he doesn't. And he says, just be patient and depend on me. I'm talking about struggles that we may have in our finances to, you know, pay the bills and do what we need to do. And I could go on and list a lot of other things. I'll just say tonight, if you're struggling with something, put it under this category of weakness. If you got a heartache about something, let me just talk to you a little bit tonight about how to think about those heartaches and how God thinks about those heartaches and how God will use those heartaches to make us depend on Him and then use us in mighty ways. So again, three things. Number one, let's just accept the weakness. Let's just accept that there's something in our life that we wish we could change and can't. Let's just accept that it exists. We're in good company. You go back and you look at the people in the Bible. You look at the Apostle Paul. He had a weakness. He called it his thorn in the flesh. I don't know, and that I think is just a figure of speech. I don't think he had a thorn actually in the flesh. But there was something in his life that caused him problems. There was something in his life that he had a heartache about. The Bible doesn't say what it is. Some people think that maybe it was a physical ailment. Some people think that it might have been his eyes, that when he was blinded on the road to Damascus, that from that point on he had problem with his eyesight and he couldn't see. They say that because in some of the letters that he wrote that are included in the New Testament, he says, see how large a print I've written. I've written it with my own hand, so you know that it comes from me. Others think that he might have had epilepsy and suffered from seizures. So it could have been something physical. We don't know. It could have been just the opposition that he faced when he went to different places of the world. I mean, Paul was always getting in trouble. He'd go into town, and they'd throw him in jail. They'd beat him up. They'd stone him. They'd arrest him for no reason at all. And I'm sure after a while that would begin to wear on you. I'm sure after a while that Paul would go to God and say, God, I could accomplish a lot more if you just keep me out of jail. If you just let me get along with these people that I'm trying to go and preach to, and they wouldn't be so hard-hearted. There's some people that think it was Paul's memories that was his thorn in the flesh, that he could not get over what he did to Christians. They knew that God forgave him, but he never forgave himself, and he struggled with the memories of how he persecuted Christians, and as a result had dealt with depression. And that was his thorn in the flesh. And so I don't know what it was. I don't know if it was physical. I don't know if it was emotional. And I just say this, since we don't know what it is, we can identify with him. We can say, hey, I've got something in my life like the Apostle Paul had. And what the Apostle Paul says, I'm going to accept it. I'm just going to realize that I got it and it's mine and I can't get rid of it. Now, I want you to notice something. The Apostle Paul said his thorn in the flesh, his weakness came from God. He said there was given to me by God this thorn in the flesh. Now, it came from Satan. He said, he says it there. He said, there was given to me a thorn in the flesh, the messenger of Satan to buffet me. Not buffet, Brother Harold. Buffet. That means to beat. By the way, I was at your favorite restaurant on Friday for lunch. I had a date with a very beautiful young lady, and you guys missed it. I want to talk to you after the service to find out where you were. Anyhow, but Paul says, it was given to me by God. And before anybody goes away and wondering who is that very beautiful young lady, it was Hannah. We had a little date. And by the way, we ate lunch with her grandpa and Mimi. So we were chaperoned. All right. Anyhow, there was a messenger of Satan that God allowed to come into Paul's life. And he buffeted him and beat him. And God allowed it. Now, we can go back to the Old Testament. We can talk about Job.
Same thing happened to him. I mean, Job had a good life. I mean, he had wealth and he had his health and he had 10 children. He had a wife that loved him and everything was going good for Job. And Satan came to God and said, hey, if you can, and by the way, God, Job was a godly man. I mean, you go back and you read the first chapter of the book of Job and you find God up in heaven bragging on Job. I mean, a good man, one that hates evil and loves good. And God was bragging on him. And Satan said, hey, no, Job's only good because you put this hedge of protection around him. Tear it down and let me at him and I'll get him to curse you. And the same thing that happened in Paul's life happened in Job's life. God allowed this messenger of Satan, Satan himself, I think, in that case, to come in and strip Job of his wealth, strip Job of his children, strip Job of the love of his wife, strip Job of his health. And I'm sure when Job was sitting in the garbage pit with for the fires to give him some relief from the sores that he had on his body, scraping himself with the broken pottery, that Job could have looked to heaven and said, why, God? Why have you let this come upon me? Hey, just take all this stuff away. Let's get back to the way it was. Let's go back to the way it was before you allowed all this to happen, and I'll be a servant of yours. But he didn't. Job said, though he slay me, yet I will trust him. And in the New Testament, we have Paul saying the same thing. God has let this weakness, this thorn in the flesh, this problem come into my life. I'm going to accept it. You see, Satan comes with those things into our life to try to tear us down, to try to discourage us, to try to get us to quit. And God says, no, I let him come into your life, not so Satan can tear you down, but that I can build you up. I want to use them to make you more of what I want you to be. I want to use them to make you more a servant that I can use to build my kingdom. And Satan hasn't changed. He comes to us today by the permission of God. Let me just hasten to say, nothing comes into your life unless God allows it. Nothing. Don't you think for a minute that Satan can overpower God and bring something into your life? And I know some of you are thinking right now, why would a loving God let my problem come into my life? Why would a loving God do to me what's being done? Or why would he let Satan do to me what Satan is doing to me? I want to tell you tonight, I don't understand it. You don't understand it. But God has a purpose. He knows what he's doing. Satan wants to use that problem to tear you down. God says, no, 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 no. I want to use it to build you up. I want to use it to make you stronger. I want to use it to make you a more fit vessel for what I want you to do. Now, Paul asked God to remove that thorn in the flesh. He asked him three times. And God said, no, I'm not going to remove it. And we see in Paul's case why God sent it. Paul said in verse 7, and lest I should be exalted above measure, the beginning of the verse, and then at the end of the verse he says, lest I should be exalted above measure. What Paul was saying, God sent this into my life to keep me humble. God sent this into my life so that I would not get proud in my Christianity. See, you go back, and in fact, we're going to do it. If you still have your Bibles open, 2 Corinthians chapter 12, I want to read the first five verses. I want to see what Paul was talking about, why he would be exalted. It says there, it is not expedient for me, doubtless, to glory. I will come to visions and revelations of the Lord. I knew a man in Christ about 14 years ago, talking about himself. Whether in the body, I cannot tell, or whether out of the body, I cannot tell. God knoweth. Such a one caught up to the third heaven. And I knew such a man, whether in the body or out of the body, I cannot tell, God knoweth. How that he was caught up into paradise. Paul says, I knew a man, it was me. I don't know if I was in the body or out of the body, but I was caught up into paradise. I was caught up into that place where Jesus told the thief on the cross, today you will be with me in paradise. I got to go there and heard unspeakable words, which is not lawful for a man to utter. Of such a one will I glory, yet of myself I will not glory, but in my infirmities. And Paul says, I had this vision. I got to go to paradise. I got to hear things that are unlawful for a man to speak. And lest I should be exalted for those visions, for that visit to paradise that I got to make, God gave me a thorn in the flesh. He gave me something. He gave me a problem. He gave me something that I have to fight every day. Paul could have been a proud person. I mean, I think we see it coming through over there when he's given his credentials to the Jews. Hey, you know, I'm a Pharisee. I belong to that strictest sect of the Jews. And I followed my religion. I mean, you can almost see the pride coming out as he talked about his old life and the position that he had when he was a Jew. But Paul said, I got to go to paradise. I got to see things that nobody else see. And so I wouldn't be proud. I think God knew that he would have been proud. I got this thorn in the flesh lest I should be exalted. And he says, I asked God to take it away, and he didn't. God allowed it to come, and he wouldn't take it away so that Paul wouldn't be proud, so that Paul would not exalt himself. And tonight, I would just remind you, whatever your problem, whatever your weakness, whatever your condition, and I look around the room and I see a bunch of them. I see a bunch of them. God allowed it. Just get that in your mind and in your heart. God allowed it. He allowed it. Number two, we need it. Paul needed it. We need it. Again, our attitude toward problems and weaknesses are different from God's. We want it removed. Paul said, I went to God three times. Three times I asked the Lord to remove it. Three times I asked Jesus to take it. He said, take it away, I'll be a better Christian. Take it away, I'll be a better preacher. Take it away, I'll be a better teacher. Take it away, I'll be a better church builder. Take it away, I'll be a better missionary. Take it away, I'll be better in everything that you want me to do. We say the same thing. Take away this sickness that the doctors can't cure. I'll serve you more. Take away this broken relationship in my life, and I'll serve you more. Take away this problem that I'm having with my kids, and I'll serve you more. Take away this financial difficulty that we struggle with day after day, and I'll serve you more. Sometimes we pray, sometimes there's a person in our life, and that person, just like Paul had a thorn in that flesh, that person is a thorn to us. And sometimes we pray, just Lord, take away that person. And I'll serve you better. And God says to us, like he said to Paul, no, 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 you need that weakness. In verse 9, he said, my grace is sufficient for thee, for my strength is made perfect in weakness. I'm not going to take away your problem, Paul. I'm not going to take away your thorn in the flesh. I'm not going to take away that thing that buffets you, that messenger from Satan that buffets you. But here's what I am going to do. I'm going to give you grace to endure it. I'm going to give you grace to use it. I'm going to give you grace so that I can use that thing in your life that you want me to get rid of so that I can make you into a more usable vessel for me. He said, my strength is made perfect in weakness. My power, God says, shows up in weak people. That's why the Bible says God doesn't choose the smart people of the world. He doesn't choose the rich people of the world. He doesn't choose the powerful people of the world because he has a hard time using them because they know they're rich, they know they're powerful, they know they're smart. God says, I want the weak vessels of the world. I want the people that don't think they're so smart. I want the people that don't think they're so powerful. I want the people that don't think that they have enough to last them the rest of their life. I want people that know they have to depend on me. Those are the people that I can use. And Paul, if you've gone to heaven, you've seen things you shouldn't have, that other men haven't seen. You've heard words that other men haven't heard. And if I don't give you something to keep you humble and keep you down to earth, you're going to get proud and you're not going to be used. But if you have this thorn in the flesh and you depend on me because of that thorn in the flesh, I can use you. I can use you. So we need it. We need it. You ever stop and think that maybe we don't see the power of God in our life because we think we can do it ourselves? You ever think that we don't see the power and the might of God in our life because we don't ever tell them that we need help? He says, my strength is made perfect in weakness. Jesus talking. In my Bible, those words are in red. My strength is made perfect in weakness. I would tell you tonight, Jesus' strength is perfect. It always has been. For all eternity, Jesus has had perfect strength. And it always will be. He'll have perfect strength for all of eternity. I mean, after we go to heaven, his strength will be perfect. But what he's saying is, you won't see it down there unless I keep you weak. You want to see the full power of my strength? You want to see my strength rolled out completely? I can't do that when you're helping me. I can't do that when you think you have any strength of your own. I got to get you to the point where you don't think you have any strength, that you can't do it, and then my strength in its fullest form, in its most mature form, where you can see all of it all together, that's when you can see it in weakness. In weakness. We need it. And then number three, and this is the hard one. This is a hard one for me, and it's probably the hard one for many of you. We need to take pleasure in it. And I'm thinking about those four people that talked to me today about things that were going on in their life. And I'm imagining what's going on in their mind as I say that. Take pleasure in it. That's what Paul said. I'm going to take pleasure in the problems that I have. I'm going to take pleasure in that thorn in the flesh. I'm going to take pleasure in it. Paul had a lot that he could boast about. He could say, hey, look at all the churches I've started. Look at all the books of the Bible I've written. Look at all the miles that I've traveled to tell people about Jesus Christ. Look at all the preacher boys that I've called into the ministry. Timothy and Titus, too, we know of. Look at all the people that were saved under my preaching. The thousands and thousands of people that were saved. You would think that if Paul was going to brag about something, any one of those things he could justifiably brag about. But nowhere in the New Testament, nowhere in the books that he penned under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit do we find Paul mentioning how many churches he started or how many people got saved under his preaching or anything like that. What Paul brags about, what he takes glory in, is how weak he was. His weakness, his problem. His thorn in the flesh. He says, more gladly, therefore, will I rather glory in my infirmities. Let's just let that sink in for a minute. More gladly, therefore, will I rather glory in my infirmities, my weakness, my problems, that the power of Christ may rest upon me. He said, that's what I'm going to take glory in. Not all this stuff that men may look at and say, boy, look at what Paul did. I take glory that I have the power of God on my life because I'm so weak. That's what I glory in. Not what I've done or what God has done through me. I don't take any glory of that because he says, it wasn't me. It was God. It was God that did it, not me. I take glory, and if I'm going to brag about anything, I'm going to brag that I'm so weak that I didn't have anything to do with it. That it was all God. All God. All Him. Therefore, I take pleasure in infirmities, in reproaches, in necessities, in persecutions, in distresses for Christ's sake. For when I am weak, then am I strong. Now you stop and think about it. You stop and think about the thing that you're struggling with tonight. You stop and think about the thing that's on your heart tonight. You stop and think about that burden that you have. Some of you have had it for a long, long time. And I know, because some of you have talked to me, if you had your way, and if I had my way as your pastor, I wish I could take you back in the office, pour a little oil on your head, and say, it's all gone. All gone. All your pain's gone. All your relationships are better. All the problems that you have and the way you feel is all better. But I can't do that. God could, but he says, I'm not. Because I want you to have those things. Because when you have those things, you're weak. And when you're weak, I can use you. I can use you. And I know you say, well, preacher, couldn't he use me as well if he fixed all that? Probably not. Probably not. Probably not. And so tonight, I encourage us to be like Paul. Those problems that we have, let's just grab hold on them, hold them and say, God, I know you've allowed this to come into my life. I don't understand it. If I had my way, you'd get rid of it. But you gave it to me. You must know that I need it. And so I'm going to glory that you think enough about me that you let this come into my life so I could serve you better, so I could be a better servant and be more useful and be more of what you want me to be. Let's pray together. Father, thank you for loving us that much, for loving us enough that you know us and you know what it takes for us to be what you want us to be. And so you let that come into our life. I know, Father, sometimes it gets hard. Sometimes it hurts a lot. Sometimes, because Satan wants us to just give up and quit, that's what we feel like doing. But Father, I pray that we could get a clear, fresh vision of why things happen in our life, of why you allow things to come, so that we become weak, so that we can become strong through your power. Father, I pray tonight, if there's somebody here that doesn't know for sure they're on their way to heaven, I pray tonight that they could see Jesus as their Savior. The only way that a person can get their sins forgiven and go to paradise, go to heaven. Father, I pray if there's just one here tonight that needs to make that decision, you'll help them do it. And then, Father, I pray for the many Christians. Holy Spirit, speak to our hearts. Give us the mind of Christ. Make us more into the vessels that you want us to be. For it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.